Hi, my name's Lucas and
I'm Kerry,
and welcome to another episode of Dose of Pharma. So today we're joined by Amy, who is a New Zealand-born Samoan woman who has a passion for science and helping others. And we'll be discussing about the theme of failure and perseverance in the context of science. To begin with, Amy, would you like to give us a brief introduction of yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on Dose of Pharma. I'm really looking forward to unpacking a lot of failure, being vulnerable. So it'd be a really good talk. So I am Amy Mason Miller, also known as the Samoan Scientist. I live in Auckland, New Zealand, but my parents are from Samoa. I call them my children, but they're two dogs. One is called Panati and the other one is called Blazy. They're very like short, fluffy dogs, and also have a couple of horses as well. So at the moment I'm living in like a rural area, so I love being outside and spending time with my animals.
Definitely. That sounds very nice. I especially love to live in a rural area where it's just nice and peace and quiet. But yeah, glad to have you on the show. So first question, as you mentioned about your culture and your heritage. So how did you feel your culture heritage as a Pacifica woman in science? How has that influenced kind of your direction and interest of your studies so far?
Yeah, I really like that question because I haven't really thought about it, but until now. but I would say during the end of my postgraduate studies, so after my bachelor's, which was 3 years, and then I went to my postgraduate studies, I realized that my being New Zealand born Samoan woman was something that I acknowledge, because before I didn't really acknowledge it, but also something that I'm proud of, and also something that led my master's research. So during my postgraduate year, we have to decide a project that we want to do for our master's. And I thought, okay, I've been told that in order to do a master's, you should really choose a topic that you're passionate about. And I was like, okay, I like plants, and I think it would be really interesting to learn more about my culture. So I asked supervisors, is there any projects that have something to do with the Pacific and something to do with plants? And luckily, one supervisor was researching taro. And taro is a root crop, a staple part of the diet in Samoa and also other Pacific islands. And truthfully, I didn't even know a lot about taro before I started my master's. But I was really thankful because I learned a lot more about my Samoan culture through my master's work. And so once I completed my master's, I felt even more empowered that being New Zealand born Samoan, that I know more about my culture. I'm not, they sometimes call us plastic Samoans because we don't know a lot about the culture, but I felt that through my science and my master's research that it helped really feel confident in my culture.
Definitely with research, it's got to be something that you're passionate about, because otherwise, you can really feel that burnout quite quickly. And especially if it's not something that's interesting, it's like what captivates your interest and holds that for, that amount of time that, you really need to push through as well.
Yeah. Would you say, Amy, that you had to dive into the history of Samoan culture to learn more about in relation to your research?
This was an interesting conversation because I would say initially my supervisor would have said, no, I don't need to look into the Samoan meaning behind taro and the cultural significance it has. But I actually said to my supervisor that that was something that I wanted to do. So I didn't necessarily need to do it, but I made it important for myself to include it in my thesis. So that was a part of my thesis.
And did that give you bonus marks?
Yeah, one of the markers, he said, "Oh, I love that section of your literature review," but then the other marker was really harsh, and they didn't comment anything about that.
Right. Yeah, I guess it's through their own lens because everyone has that kind of different perspectives. So, yeah. Well, but still very, very interesting and insightful to hear that. That, you know, not a lot of, I think, research projects that I know others have done where you actually learn more about your own culture. For me personally, I guess the experience that I've had is that learning, I guess, more about my own profession, but never to the extent of, you know, learning about whether it's a specific kind of niche or a kind of specific that you can relate to personally. So it's very interesting to hear. I guess we can move on. I guess to the next question. So I know that yourself, you're really quite passionate about research and knowing that you're basically kind of an advocate for science in the Pacifica community. What are the, I would say, some of the obstacles or challenges that you've kind of identified that would have deterred young Pacifica people from pursuing specifically careers in science?
What I hear a lot is that science is for the smart people, like only the people at the top of the class can do science. You know, people who are in the accelerated classrooms, I'm thinking like in high school, you know, they're the ones that do all the three sciences and the calculus and the maths and all of that. But what I've found is that it's not, you know, you don't have to be that smart to do science. You just have to really be able to persevere, be able to keep going, even if you've failed a paper or something, or you have to be able to pick yourself up if you're having a lot of trouble with your experiments. And I've found that the people who are willing to work hard, who are okay with making mistakes and working through those problems, those are the people who are really successful scientists. And I think as well, people who are not afraid to make mistakes and who are just really fearless in that, and they ask all the questions, no matter what type of questions or no matter what they think other people may think, they're just really, is it inquisitive? Like they're really interested in the topics that they're researching. And so I have also found that as well, that I was not the brightest in the class. And by persevering, even, you know, I failed papers in high school, you know, just passed some papers in university, but I kept going and just kind of checking in with myself and thinking, okay, that didn't work. What else can work? So science isn't for the smart people. It's really for those people who are willing to put in the work and persevere. Another obstacle that I hear younger people say is that they don't really know what jobs are out there for science within science. And I so understand that because I had that experience as well in high school. I honestly had no idea. I just thought it was like doctor, engineer, like lawyer. Those were the main careers that I knew of in high school. And so, yeah, that's what I've been trying to do with Samoan scientists, is to really show people what jobs are out there for science, for within the science career. So I have a social media page called Samoan Scientist, and I try and profile a lot of my friends who are in the science industries. For instance, one person, Dr. Natalie Netzler, she does a lot of work in immunology, and she's been doing a lot of COVID work recently in New Zealand. One, Sophia Olufa-Faanga as well, she's she used to do environmental work. So she worked for a construction company, and then she'd go out to site, and if there were any native geckos or lizards, she'd be like, no, we can't build here. So, you know, like really kind of niche jobs like that people don't know about. And so that's what I'm trying to do through Samoan Scientists, to get people aware of those so they could see themselves in those careers in science. And yeah, I guess following on from that as well as like representation, you know, if we don't see people like ourselves in the science areas, and it makes it a little less accessible, like, oh, okay, wonder why there aren't many Samoan people in there, or Pacifica people, or like it doesn't seem like an attainable position to go through science careers. So
would you say like one of your drives in like pursuing your pathway in a career as a scientist is to basically be part of that representation in your Samoan culture and community?
Yeah, I guess so. Like one of the people who are in that, in the science area, because there are a few Māori, really good Māori scientists and Māori science lecturers as well in the universities, which is really good. But yeah, definitely I do notice that there is not a lot of Pacifica people in science or in the universities here in New Zealand that I've noticed.
So I know that you kind of mentioned before that that it's not always going to be the smart people. So well, would you say that science is basically for anyone having that perseverance, very curious and inquisitive mindset, or still a little bit of, you know, element of failure that can often prevalent in science, because there's a lot of trial and error, I'm assuming, especially with, you know, research and stuff like that. But how would you say that would have influenced kind of your work and career? Like, did you find that, was there a particular moment or was there a particular experience that you really felt quite like kind of lost, and then you realized, no, this is how I should not be going about it, but rather this is the direction I should be going instead?
Yeah, I guess I would say one of my biggest failures would be getting into the PhD program. So I've had maybe 3 years of just so many academic hurdles trying to get into a PhD program. And it all stemmed from my master's. So my master's research, I got a B minus for my overall thesis. And so at the University of Auckland, they don't allow students who get below a B plus to go on to a PhD. So they need to do some extra work, some extra papers. And so I was battling through that. But I also presented a case to the University of Auckland that I had a lot of work experience and publications and support from supervisors and other people that I've worked with. But it all came down to my mark, my master's mark, which was a B minus. And so for me, that felt like a failure because I was not able to go on the easy path or straight path to PhD because of my mark. And I felt like, oh, okay, so I'm judged by my science through a mark, and I'm judged on my smartness through a mark as well. And so I felt really discouraged by that. I felt, yeah, like you said, I felt really lost during that time because I thought, well, do I really want to do science? Is science really for me? You know, am I smart enough? I always think about this all the time, but am I smart enough to continue on to do a PhD? And what got me through that was, I guess, talking to a lot of people. I have a group of Māori and Pacific academics who are already in the university system, so they know how that works. So I had conversations with them. I had conversations with my supervisors at the time who were helping me get into the PhD program. I had conversations with my mum as well, and I felt that just talking about it or even writing it down helped me figure out what my next step was. After 3 years, I don't know, I guess I really persevered, but after 3 years, I finally got into the PhD program, which I felt like was unnecessary, but I mean, I got into the PhD program. And in a way, it was a good thing because I had that time to think about my project. I had that time to decide what I really want to do, that I'm passionate about, what I really am passionate about, and made me really fight for my PhD. So I'm more invested in it. And it made me, I felt like that I hit the ground running once I started my PhD. And so even though those 3 years and that B master's was a big failure, there was a positive on the other side, the fact that I am even more determined to complete my PhD. And I have more of a drive, I guess. Yeah, is that what I call it? A drive to oh, it's not a drive. It's like, I'm really passionate about my topic. So I know that I'm going to enjoy it and get it done and do it for the Samoan community.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that, especially, I guess I can kind of relate that to myself. Where it's if especially like when you're very, I guess, in the university, like in a university system where grades are, I guess, more so valued than having a good idea or having a good mindset. Like, I think it really, how would you put it? Like, it definitely, I think a lot of good students out there as well, unfortunately, who I wouldn't say failed by the university system, but they are essentially overlooked simply because of the fact that, you know, grades are not up to par. I can put myself in that basket as well, because it's been definitely, you know, I understand that from your journey, it can definitely be a tough journey as well, especially with a lot of obstacles. And wow, 3 years to get into a PhD. That's a very, very, very long time. But I guess in that sense, like, did you, obviously you would have felt a huge relief off your shoulders, but did you find that in any way you were, once you got in, did you still find that there were more obstacles and challenges, even though at the point you realized, like, I really enjoyed this theme, I really enjoyed this topic? But was there, did you still find that there was still some resistance from the, I guess, the other side, even after you, you know, achieved that goal finally?
Not yet, but I'm counting on it. So far, it's been a really good journey with, because I've already built that relationship over 3 years with my supervisors, so I know how they work. And at the moment, I'm just reading a lot of papers and forming my literature review, so it's been pretty smooth at the moment. But I will say that it's quite lonely. I mean, we're just now, for our second semester, we're allowed to go back to university, but for this whole semester we haven't been allowed. So I've like, oh, just writing by myself in my room, you know. It's lonely, but nothing, no major challenges yet. But I feel like I'm even more determined to prove everyone wrong, that, you know, I feel like that if I can handle that 3 years, then I can pretty much handle anything.
So, well, after getting into PhD recently, like, do you find that your motivation has been affected at all? Like, especially since you're more isolated at the beginning, where you're more to yourself and you're kind of like all on your own and like deciding what to do ahead of your next few years. Like, do you ever like have that shift in perspective in like how you should approach your PhD, or like, do you always like stick to the same routine every day?
I've actually been slightly changing my routine to see what works best. So with PhDs, they're pretty flexible. So each student can pretty much set a timetable for themselves. We don't have any classes or anything. For myself, I have monthly meetings with my supervisors, so it's really up to me to what I do within those months. At the moment, I've just been creating my own Zoom study sessions, and so I just email the link to people I know or put them on the Samoan Scientist page. And I found that really helps, because I will dedicate a block of time to studying, and then that means the rest of the day that I can do what I need to do. But I know that once it comes to, for instance, 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, I know that's my study time, and then I'm going to sit down and I have to do that. So I found that it's worked really well, blocking out hours of time. And I love the Pomodoro technique, the 25 minutes, studying and 5 minute break. Love, 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 love that. That works well for me. And I found like some little tips and tricks. Like, I love tables for my literature reviews. I love keeping track of the papers that I've read and keeping notes within my spreadsheets. So that's been helpful, but it's definitely a work in progress. And I feel like that's what the PhD process is like. Just tweaking things to make it work for you. And I'm sure the same will apply for my experiments as well.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Amy. Because I feel like PhD may be slightly different to what it will look like for a full-time worker, where like our work hours are very fixed and like standard 9 to 5, and you're like expected to do that work within that set time frame. Whereas PhD is like, it's a little bit more flexible, where like you are like, you decide what you want to do for your career and your pathway. So you can organize and set all these little things. And I guess it will like just build up like step by step.
Yeah, and you make a good point as well. Like it makes it even more harder to get that motivation up, because you know you don't have your boss there saying, oh, have you done this? You know, you just make your own time and your own motivation.
Yeah, because it means that you obviously have a lot of freedom, but you need the discipline. You need the discipline as well. I guess on that point, so I know that you kind of like trying out different techniques and stuff, but would you say you would have like kind of any, you're kind of, if you had the chance to like kind of like do it all over again, like, you know, back to like step one, that kind of thing, like knowing that the experiences that you've learned, like what would you kind of say to your past self in terms of like, you know, some key messages, like, oh, you know, you should definitely do this, like this is, you know, a good way to kind of segue into this thing, or it's like, oh, you shouldn't do this because you know, this is what will happen. Like what will kind of be those messages if you had the chance to talk to yourself, like kind of like a hypothetical scenario, but what kind of those key messages would you part off with?
Will that be like transitioning into the science career, or like within, like going from bachelor's to postgraduate, or?
Oh, I guess like going from your bachelor's to postgraduate and now going to PhD, like what would you just kind of say back to yourself? It's like, oh, you know, you know, this is what you should do, or that type of thing.
Yeah. So I'm a person who, I like to think that I'm organized, but I love making lists and notes. So I'm the type of person that thinks, okay, we need to be here at 9 o'clock, and 9:05 we're gonna have breakfast. So I love having order and things like that. But what I would say to myself, my bachelor's, is that chill. You don't need to be so much into the order, and be a bit vulnerable and ask questions and, like, I don't know, sorry, I'm not sure how to articulate it, but I guess in terms of like I care too much about what people say or what people think, so I would love my younger self to be a bit more fearless, ask all the questions, make all the mistakes, because I find that when I've later on in life, when I've made more mistakes, I've been, like, I've come out the other side so much better. I've felt that I've become a better scientist. I became a better person. And that was because by making those mistakes, I knew how to fix them. But also I knew that if things keep failing and failing and failing, that I would still survive, that I would still be able to pick myself up, that I would still be able to persevere, and I would still be able to, for instance, you know, produce a master's thesis. So I would definitely say to my younger self, be more fearless, ask all the questions, don't really care too much about what people think, just focus on yourself. And
yeah, thanks for sharing that, Amy. Just to, I guess, close off the episode, linking back to the theme of what we're discussing about perseverance and our learnings throughout in relation to your journey, what can you share to the viewers about what you've learned so far in relation to perseverance?
What I've learned about perseverance so far?
Yeah. Like with all the hardships that you went through in relation to like your studies, getting through your master's, and then having that 3-year, and then now starting off your PhD, like reflecting back, do you see like if you could have done any different, or would you still have struggled exactly the same that you did?
Yeah, I was just trying to I thought I forgot a thought, but I remembered it now. The thing with struggles and failures and challenges is that everyone goes through them. And I feel like, I always feel like no one has the same challenges as me. But even with my PhD, not even getting through to the PhD program, other people have also faced that as well. And so to my surprise, I was really surprised about that. And so I think that's really important to acknowledge that we are all struggling in some sort. We all have our challenges and we all have our own ways of getting through them, through those challenges. And I don't know, there's some comfort in that for some reason, just knowing that we all have these struggles. And then what was the second half of the question? Where there was like another bit.
Well, like reflecting back to your journey, would you have done anything different about what you've gone through?
I did often think, was I just really stupid and waiting 3 years to try to get into the PhD program? So I do kind of maybe, I think if you're in the situation, I think 3 years is the maximum that you should have to wait. And so what I would have done in that situation, especially what I should have done, is gone elsewhere and gone to a different university. But I don't know. Would have I done anything different? I think, only possibly with that 3-year break, I may have not had waited so long. Yeah, I don't know. That's not helpful. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's all right. I feel like sometimes we just have that period of time that we may have lost ourselves and like don't know where we are. And we just need that moment to like clarify our thoughts, like what you mentioned earlier, that you talk to everyone you know and you try to reach out to as many people as possible to like clarify your thoughts. That may have been one of the, I guess, eye-opening moments that you had. And also like, I believe that's why you like wanted to continue on the path of completing your PhD as well.
And then also the minor details as well, like the location of the university and wanting to be close to my family, and also scholarship and funding and things like that, that as well came into it. But yeah, that was the overarching reason.
Thank you for staying on this episode with us, Amy. We'll close it off for now.
Cool. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show.
DOSA Pharma acknowledges the traditional custodians of the various lands throughout Australia on which we connect today, and pays respect to elders past, present, and future.